Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, here's my question for you today to kick off our conversation. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? Are you an introvert or an extrovert? If you're on Twitter, I want you to tweet me and tell me if you're an introvert or an extrovert. Here are some signs that you might be an introvert. You want to be invited to the party. You just don't want to attend the party. You get your fuel from your alone time or your downtime. You'd rather avoid a large crowd more than almost anything. You're a deep thinker. You hate small talk. You'd rather speak from the stage than mingle in the crowd. And you tend to beeline it from church to the parking lot a lot faster than maybe others think that you should. So what's a Christian to do if he or she's an introvert? Is there a place for us? Well, my guest today is Adam McHugh. He joins me to celebrate the re-release of his book, Introverts in the Church. He'll share how introverts can live and minister in ways consistent with their personalities. Super excited about this conversation. Before we get there, though, a couple quick announcements. If you've not looked at our Faith Radio app, you need to. It is free. We've got listeners from around the world, many, many countries, because of this wonderful free app. It's available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Search Faith Radio Network and you'll find it. You can live stream our shows from anywhere. It's fantastic. Also, just want to give a shout out to friends listening in on one of our new signals, 94.1 FM in Hartford, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, and two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 and 97.5, and as always, streaming online. And we kind of have a tradition on Live the Promise that if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family listening in one of these markets, email me, tell me where you're listening from, give me your address, and a couple of you, I'll draw names and we'll get you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Sometimes I ask what you like, sometimes I just send you what I'm guessing you'll like. So if you want to include the kind of books you like, that would be helpful. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Adam McHugh is an ordained Presbyterian minister and spiritual director. He's a regular contributor to Susan Cain's Quiet Revolution website. He has served at two Presbyterian churches as a hospice chaplain and as a campus staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He's the author of The Listening Life, which won the 2017 Christianity Today Book Award for Spiritual Formation and Introverts in the Church, and lives in the Central Coast of California. Dear Adam, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back, Susie. Thanks for the return visit.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. We love to start by talking scripture, Adam, and it doesn't even have to pertain to your content. Just wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you could share with us.
You know, I was looking this morning, actually, at Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Mm. And that was sticking with me a little bit today as I think about my life as an introvert and some of the strengths and the limitations that I have and that we all have, and that we don't work and act alone, that we have the Spirit within us that is doing much more than we could possibly do ourselves.
And something about us, well, I'm an introvert as well, but, you know, I've pondered that passage as well, Adam, and I thought, you know, beyond, above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or imagine, we do get a lot of thinking time. And so I used to tell God, I have a pretty wild imagination, so I can't wait to see how you're going to blow the doors off of that one. But it's a fun thing to ponder for sure. So I would love for you to make the case for the idea of the extroverted church. Before we get into even making a distinction between introverts and extroverts, talk about the whole idea of the general extroverted church.
I think it comes down to when we think of what the ideal church or the ideal believer is like, especially in certain wings of the church, the American church today, we have this image of a person who is gregarious, who is excitable, who is very social, who's eager to invite people into their home, who's eager to join different groups, who loves meeting strangers, who is skilled at sharing their faith, with strangers as well as with people that they know, and has so much energy and an overt passion for life in community. And then, you know, a church that kind of reflects people like that with this overt outward passion and energy and this outward gaze and You know, and I think that that actually can be somewhat of a harmful and unbalanced perspective on the church. And the reality is there are at least half of the people in our churches who don't connect with that or feel like they have to act or perform like that, or that somehow they're inadequate or inferior because they don't fit into that mold.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you can even subconsciously find yourself thinking that you're a substandard Christian because all of those things, as you list them, I feel my muscles tightening up a little bit but some people are just instinctively that way. And so for the sake of context, let's define extrovert and introvert. And even maybe if you want, dispel a few of the myths attached. Like, for instance, there's a myth that all introverts are shy, and it's just, no, we're not. But go ahead, if you would, just maybe make the distinction for us.
Yeah, it's an important definition. It's important to define our terms because I still think there is a lot of confusion in our culture about introversion and extroversion. And too often introverts kind of get defined by what we're not. And I really am eager to define us by what we are and the gifts that we have to contribute to other people and the strengths that we have. So based on the most basic level, and introversion is an inward orientation, whereas extroversion is an outward orientation, that introverts are more attentive to what is happening inside of us than we are attentive to what is happening outside of us. Now, it's a preference. It's not a dichotomy. We all have introverted and extroverted sides of our personality, but we kind of fall on one part of the scale generally. And then just taking that a little bit farther, there are three kind of classic marks of introversion, and the first has to do with how we find our energy. Introverts find their energy from being alone or from being in a conversation with maybe one or two close people that they know and love, whereas extroverts find their energy from being around other, being around larger groups from outside of themselves. Introverts are going to find themselves wearing out of energy fairly quickly in a larger crowd, whereas extroverts may actually find their energy expanding and building at the more time they spend with other people. So introverts have to go into privacy in order to recharge. And the second one has to do with how we process. Introverts process silently, whereas extroverts tend to process outwardly. And it's been said that introverts think in order to speak, whereas extroverts speak in order to think. And so extroverts are going to process their ideas out loud, and introverts tend to go quiet and into our heads when we're processing new information. And that can be liable to much misinterpretation, because that people assume that we're not engaged or that we're timid or that we're not paying attention, when in reality we're just processing inside of our own heads. And then the third attribute has to do with whether you prefer depth or whether you prefer breadth. Introverts tend to have fewer relationships but very close relationships, and tend to have fewer interests but tend to be very passionate about those particular interests.
Very, very good. So helpful. You also say there's not really a one-size-fits-all with introverts. There's varying shades of introverts. So speak to that if you would.
Yeah, and the problem with these conversations is always the danger of overgeneralization, and human beings always defy categorization. That's just the reality of life on this earth. But still, these definitions have proved helpful for millions and millions of people, and so that's why I stick with it. But the reality is, this is pulling from the psychology of Carl Jung and also from the Myers-Briggs inventory, and there were actually like 16 different types of personality features that are described in that, and introversion and extroversion is one pair. And kind of where you fit on the whole scheme has to do with where you are in all of those categories and not just the one. And so it is, there's always the danger of labeling, of limiting people. But at the same time, I find it very freeing and empowering when you do find something that describes you. And then when you meet other people who have very similar experiences and descriptions of themselves as well.
And this is why I feel like it is such an important conversation, because I'm not shy, and people think I do have more of an outgoing personality, I should say. And I speak from a stage that they think that there's no way that I could be an introvert. But when I first learned years ago that introverts get their fuel from solitude, it was like I finally felt understood. because I know I look like a dichotomy to somebody, but it's like, this is where I live in I love solitude. I thrive in it. And I want to just read this list in case you're listening today and you've never thought of yourself as an introvert, but you felt like an unfulfilled extrovert. Maybe you really are an introvert. If you don't mind that, I'm just going to read from your book, A Summary of Common Attributes of Introverts. Prefer to relax alone or with a few close friends. Consider only deep relationships as friends. Need rest after outside activities, even ones that we enjoy. Often listen, but talk a lot about topics of importance to us. Appear calm, self-contained, and like to observe. Tend to think before we speak or act. May prefer a quiet atmosphere. Experience our minds going blank in groups or under pressure. Isn't that interesting? Don't like feeling rushed. Make slow and methodical decisions. Have great powers of concentration. Dislike small talk. Boy, you've got my name and my address here. Our territorial desire private space and time. Yep. May treat their homes as their sanctuaries. Prefer to work on own rather than with a group. May prefer written communication. Do not share private thoughts with many people. Wow. Are there any of those that specifically resonate with you, Adam, that jump out just for you personally?
Oh, I mean, a lot of it connects. I think viewing my home as my sanctuary really always stands out to me, and it's also gotten me into some trouble people sort of doubting my commitment to Christian community, that I don't always want a lot of people in my home, or I don't want to always host a small group or something like that. But for me, you know, getting home after a long day of work with all of the social demands and all of the exhaustion that comes with that, and getting in, you know, to a cozy place with a good book is so incredibly valuable for just my health, my emotional health, as well as being able to refuel so that I can then re-enter the world with energy.
Boy, that's so good. Talking to Adam McHugh today, we've got 3 copies of Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. Maybe you're an extrovert married to an introvert. I'd love to hear from you. If you want in on the drawing, I'd love to hear from you as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your questions if you've got them. Don't forget your address if you want in on the drawing. When we come back, we're going to talk about the idea that we actually have different chemical balances, extroverts and introverts, and even the blood in our brain flows differently. Isn't that amazing? Adam will unpack that when we return. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Adam McHugh today. He's re-released his book, Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a question or comment, I would love to hear it, especially if you're in relationship with someone who's opposite of you, how that's gone and how you guys have navigated that. I'd love to hear that. Talk, if you would, about the idea that blood even flows differently in the introverted brain than it does the extroverted brain, and that we even have different chemical balance. So this really is a physiological thing, too.
Yeah, and that's been where most of the exciting research has been conducted in the last 10 years, is on looking at the different brain chemical balances and then looking at the different paths that our neurotransmitters take in our brains, to discover that the introvert brains are actually wired differently, and we have what's called a rest and repose response to stimuli or to crisis, whereas extroverts tend to have an act and react reaction to stimuli. And so, and that our chemicals in our brain actually take different paths as well, and that the introverted brain path tends to be slower and longer, which is one of the reasons why we may have a hard time with word retrieval or thinking on our feet. That is not a strength of mine. I do much better when I can prepare my thoughts and then speak them in an uninterrupted way, whereas extroverts may be a little bit better on their feet because their brain chemicals take a shorter and quicker path, and so they can retrieve words better and sort of talk spontaneously, a little bit more articulately at times.
Boy, that's fascinating. I want you to talk, if you would, about the introvert goodbye and how you actually employed it one time at your own birthday party.
Yeah, that was one of the additions to the new edition of Introverts in the Church. That was a new paragraph. But I'm trying to talk about in the chapter, this is on the introvert difference, where how introverts can be harder to identify than you think, because we're not necessarily shy or aloof, and that if we're at a party with a group of our friends, we may actually be very social. I'm hosting a party in about 2 hours, actually, with my good friends to celebrate the release of this book, and I promise you I will be very chatty and would be right in the middle of all of it, but that's because these are my best friends in the world. What I call the introvert goodbye is that even when I'm at an event with people I really like and know, I still find my energy starting to wane. And I have been known to disappear from parties without saying goodbye. So I did that once for my own birthday party. So that's become kind of a legendary story.
That's hilarious. I've done the introvert goodbye as well.
The introvert goodbye. Yeah.
I love that. I did that once. Well, I apologize profusely because we were hosting my husband's huge family for Christmas, and all of their coats were on our bed. And I couldn't handle it anymore. I mean, my battery was absolutely down and I just felt so bad. And so I snuck away and got under the covers, and all of their coats were still on the bed. And they went and got their coats and realized there was a little body under there. But now the big joke every Christmas is, good night, Suze. Thanks for having us over, because they just let me go now because I get to a point where I can't deal with it anymore. Yeah. I felt so validated when I read that story. So talk about what introverted spirituality looks like.
Introverted spirituality is very rich, and it, depending on which sort of tradition you're from, it may differ. But what I found in talking to introverts, and I interviewed dozens and dozens of introverts for this book, a lot of whom were in ministry, was that there's a contemplative bent to introverted spirituality. There's a quietness. There's a relishing of silence and solitude, which, has traditionally been very ancient spirituality within the church. And so we're right within the confines of our tradition. And of course, there's a divide that's always drawn between contemplation or activism. And depending on which church you're a part of, they may stress one over the other. But to me, they've always worked together, and that you find those wells of compassion from deep within yourself, and that motivates you to act out of love for other people. And so to me, they are deeply connected. And so I think that silence and solitude and prayerfulness and contemplation is really the beginning of a life of faith.
It is interesting, as I was working through this, Adam, I work full-time in radio, then I write books as well, and we're on the road a few weekends in the fall and in the spring for speaking events, and that's about as much as I can handle. We recover our margin in the mornings and evenings during the week, and then on the weekends that we're home. And so I have, we do prayer ministry at our church, where we're on the altar ministry in the front, and my hubby helps with the building committee. But does not come from my pastor and his wife. They're so amazing and so supportive. But I constantly feel bad that I can't do multiple groups during the week. I physically can't. I've tried it, and it's backfired every single time. And what's a person to do who's wired like that when you're already in ministry? I mean, what is the answer for the introvert who feels like, I will die if I have to do more than what I'm doing because I need to recover my time in solitude?
Right. And I think the reality is that there are a lot of very tired people in our churches, a lot of very worn out people in our churches. And I think we have to look at what sort of social expectations we place on our leaders and our ministers, and whether or not that is healthy at times. I think that we who are ministering as introverts in Christian community need to be just ruthless about learning how to say no. The problem with the church is that every single event or party or group or whatever is all good. That's the problem. It's not like you can say no to the bad options and say yes to the good ones, because they're all good. But you have to learn how to say no to things that are good in order so that you can give of yourself as fully as you are capable of. And of course, we rely on the Spirit to give us strength and and to give us energy when we don't have it. But I do think we have to just ruthlessly guard our sense of solitude, even if that's just getting a few minutes before a meeting or during the afternoon or whatever little breaks we can get, in order that we can find a little bit of energy from within to be able to keep ministering to people and, you know, participating in Christian community.
So do you pay attention to when you get on the rumble strips? Because there's times where God is calling you to sacrifice. And in fact, I we've got about 2.5 minutes to break, so you maybe need to pull this over to the other side. But you think of, with both extroverts and introverts, that there tends to be a default to selfishness when God would call us to sacrifice, you know. And I would love for you to just talk about how to define the line between when God is inviting us to something and when we feel driven and obligated that's not from God, and we know it'll kill us. You know what I'm saying? I think we can bend towards where we feel most comfortable. How do you discern that difference?
It's tricky. I think any time that we're acting from, you know, guilt or resentment or inadequacy, that is not from God, that is from some other force within us, and we need to be, and the great thing about being an introvert is that we tend to be pretty self-aware and pretty able to examine our own hearts and what's happening inside of us internally. And we know that when we're acting out of those sorts of negative desires or impulses, that we're not acting in faith, actually. But there will be times when we do feel called to do something that feels risky or hard or unnatural, and yet we know that we are acting in sacrificial love. But I also think that a lot of us introverts tend to act too much on that side of things, and that we need to be more conscientious and careful about how we schedule, what sort of things we do give ourselves to, how many people we really do listen to over the course of a week and in the course of ministry and life and community. And I think too often we're called to sort of give up ourselves, and I think instead that we're to act in love and faith as we truly are and as we have been created by God, rather than trying to act like someone else.
And you sure can see where that would be difficult if there really is, an extrovert culture, where it's just sort of a given that those who are celebrated are those who are out there and in multiple groups, and they're getting energy from all of that. And you could see how we would get sucked into that, and we would be run over by it as well. So as you said, we got to stay in tune with what's going on that inside. Talking to Adam McHugh. Again, his book is titled Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. I'd love to know how you navigate, especially if you're an introvert. What boundaries have you learned, and when has God called you to sacrifice? What's it like for you? I want to know. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address as well if you want in on the drawing. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to pastor and author Adam McHugh, celebrating the re-release of his book, Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. Got 3 copies. I would love to get a copy into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. But I'm super curious, if you're an introvert or you love an introvert, what's that like for you? And maybe if you've learned to navigate, if you've found some boundaries that work or you struggle, love to hear. And we've got a couple questions that sort of go hand in hand. This dear listener says, I'm an introvert. I'm very shy. My new husband's an extrovert and fills in preaching when needed. I've been born again for only 6 years. It's difficult for me to even pray out loud when I feel it's expected of me, among other things. Please advise. And then this question says, it might be worth talking about how to coexist in a marriage relationship if one spouse is introverted and the other extroverted. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. Those are tricky questions, and it's hard for me to pray out loud too, and I'm an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. So I relate to that, and particular churches are going to put more emphasis on sort of an outward expression of faith, and that can be very taxing And so my hope with the book is not just that introverts will learn how to exist within an extroverted church, but that I would like to see systems changing. And I think they have been actually over the last few years since people have been talking a lot more about introversion. But my hope is that churches can start to understand that actually what they are asking of people is not necessarily a question of faith or not faith or growth or not growth, but a question of introversion or extroversion. And then it's not a display of inadequacy if you are uncomfortable with praying out loud. For me, the worst scenario in the world is when you're at a church where the pastor will have you turn and pray in a small group of people with the people around you. And that to me is an absolute nightmare. I resonate with those questions. And I do believe in the spirituality of small steps, that maybe you're not going to stand up and preach tomorrow, but maybe you can take one small step, one small risk, knowing that you'll be able to retreat into solitude after you do it. But I do believe that, you know, one step at a time is really the best way to navigate that. But I do want to see churches actually becoming more self-aware about the sort of social expectations they're placing on people.
How would that look for church systems to change? How would it flesh out, so to speak?
I mean, I think it needs to start with leadership, I think, and I've seen it happen with people who have read Introverts in the Church or other resources on introversion, who have done, small group studies or started looking at the different structures of their churches to realize just how extroverted in some cases they are, and just slowly started making changes, maybe adding different sorts of groups that have more to do with silence and meditation, maybe not asking people to do extremely uncomfortable things within the midst of a worship service. It can be as simple as putting chairs on the outskirts of a room for a big event so that people can sort of sit and observe. We introverts like to sit on the sides and observe before we engage in the center. But I really do think that it has to start with our leadership, whether that's, ordained ministers or lay leaders, becoming aware of this issue.
And what other ways would introverts serve in church in a way that doesn't kill them?
I think that finding a role is absolutely vital, and different introverts are going to find different roles more or less comfortable. And so a very sort of socially confident introvert can actually, be a greeter, which it may sound hard to believe, but there's something about the permission that's given from playing that particular role and having a name tag on that actually feels more freeing and empowering. Now, that's not for every introvert, needless to say. It may be more of a behind-the-scenes role as well, recognizing that we're a body with different contributing parts and different gifts, and that everyone has different gifts. And so it may be finding some sort of behind-the-scenes role as well. But again, it's the small steps idea that I think is the most fruitful, rather than trying to throw ourselves into the midst of something and trying to act like an extrovert.
Okay, so I know we're talking introverts in the church, but so this isn't totally a sidestep, but I want to revisit the marriage thing, just because in the church, there's oftentimes an expectation, you need to be in a group. And there is, especially if you go to a large church, the small group community is really, really significant. But how do you navigate that in a marriage if there's an introvert and an extrovert? What does that look like?
And it seems like just about every marriage is between an introvert and an extrovert a lot of the time. And I think that's a fabulous partnership, as long as people can understand one another and not put pressure on each other to act a certain way or act more like them. And I've seen great partnerships between introverts and extroverts where they understand that, the natural inclinations that each person has. And, I don't think small groups are necessarily a bad thing for, I think in many ways they can be a good thing for introverts because it is a smaller group of people. It's not a big crowd. It's a smaller group. Now, kind of how the way that you enter a small group can be very difficult if you're expected to just walk in and lay bare your soul on the first day. That's going to be extremely uncomfortable and awkward for not just introverts, but a lot of people. And so there has to be a slower process of entering into a small group, I think, for introverts in order to really start to feel more and more comfortable with sharing. But I think introverts are fantastic at friendship. I think that we're very, very good at friendship, and small groups can be a great venue for slowly building friendship that will last over time.
What other aspects of Christian community are really significant to the introvert? You there?
I'm not sure how to answer that question.
You know, I mean, just saying, what's the community dynamic? Does it differ for the introvert versus the extrovert?
I think group size is important. Although I have to say that a lot of times in a larger group, we can sort of be a little bit more anonymous at the same time. I do think in general, we're going to feel more comfortable in a smaller group of people where we're not expected to share too much of ourselves too early. I do think, you know, finding a role, finding a place, finding a fit in the community in a specific way to participate, I think is absolutely critical. And it's always interesting to me, the assumptions people make about introverts. They assume that the introverts, you know, can't be leaders or pastors or ministers. But for me, I love preaching and teaching, actually, because I have the floor. I'm not down in the crowd, and it's my turn to speak. And, like, again, there's just that sense of permission that's been given when it's your turn to speak and other people are going to listen. And so I do think that finding a place is absolutely critical in terms of navigating Christian community.
You know, it's just true. I mean, lots of speakers are actually introverts. Lots of people in radio are introverts. Lots of authors are introverts. And what's different, I've got some other speaker friends who, once they step off the stage and they stay up with the crowd, they come alive. And I'm like, once I step off the stage, I got, you know, a line I can do for a while, and then I have to go to bed. I just can't do it anymore. But that has to be okay. This dear listener writes, since I'm an introvert myself, so I connected with this discussion. My son is also an introvert and is a fine worship leader who has struggled to be himself rather than feeling he has to be an extrovert worship persona. I would pass this book on to him and be blessed to receive it. What about that? You know, a young worship leader who's an extrovert, so he's on the stage, but he's not he's just not an extrovert. What advice would you give to him?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably more pressure to have this outward demeanor than in any other position in a church than, you know, like a youth worship leader or, you know, any sort of worship leader. And, you know, I just think that there's a quiet passion that burns within introverts, and that it's not something that is as, you know, overt and not something that is outward. And at the same time, I'm not sure that being a worship leader would necessarily be that much of a challenge for an introvert because, you know, you're getting to express, you know, your art, your singing, and I would also think that it'd be great to have an introvert who's a worship leader because then they're not going to call on the congregation to do really uncomfortable social things. And so, you know, I would love to be at a church where you have an introverted worship leader because I love seeing people who sort of have my demeanor up front because then it really validates who I am as a believer and how God has created me and that it's possible to live and worship and love as an introvert.
So tell me maybe some particular roles that introverts could occupy and lead within the church and actually thrive there.
I think there's few roles where we couldn't actually thrive. I believe that it's really about learning your own strengths, learning your own boundaries, learning your own gifts. That is what it's really about. I'm not sure that being an introvert should ever kind of limit us to particular roles or particular behind the scenes situation. So for me, it's really about becoming who you are in Christ, about learning how to listen and interact and talk with others as ourselves, and learning how to really relish that solitude and find compassion and insight within ourselves. And so, to be honest, I don't think there's one particular role or even a few particular roles where introverts should be sort of limited to, but rather it's about learning who we are and learning about how to express the gifts that God has given us as ourselves.
And really being okay with our limits, because I think an extrovert would admit as well that when they run hard with people, they find themselves, I have extrovert friends who said that neglecting the still water moments just brings them into the shallows, and they lack a certain depth that they long for just because they've been running for so long, just going from person to person, event to event. And that's the downside of being an extrovert, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not like introverts are the ones that are the only ones that need solitude and quiet. Everyone needs that. And anyone, well, we know we're human beings with finite energy, no matter how extroverted you are. And so it does become a matter of finding that balance for everyone. An introvert, learns how to sort of relish our solitude, but also to take outward steps of sacrificial love, where an extrovert relishes that energy and life that they get from living in community and interacting with other people, but also have to learn how to go down deep into themselves as well.
Well, we're taking our final break here, talking to author Pastor Adam McHugh. Title of his book, Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. When we come back, Adam, I'd love for you to just share times from your own story of when you were trying to fit into a mold that other people wanted for you, trying to do things, trying to do good things and the right things, but found that it cost you, and just what you learned, some really practical, tangible boundaries you started to put around your life so you could thrive in the call that God has for you. So that I'm giving you a heads up, Adam, to think about. And we'll talk about that when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of The Promise, talking to Adam McHugh today. He's re-released his book, Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. Here are a few indicators that you may be an introvert. You prefer to relax alone or with a few close friends. Consider only deep relationships as friends. You need rest after outside activities, even ones you enjoy. Let's see, you appear calm, self-contained, and you like to observe. May prefer a quiet atmosphere, have great powers of concentration, greatly dislike small talk. Is that you? Oh, that's what we're talking about today, and how introverts can actually thrive in the church. And oftentimes the culture in our dear blessed church is set up for extroverts. It celebrates extroverts. So how can we kind of be who God made us to be and still not get lost in the shuffle and swallowed alive by it all? And Adam, I'd love for you just to look back over your story before this book was born in your heart, even as you're navigating ministry and life in the church and trying to maybe do what other people do but kind of getting lost in it all. Just give us some examples from your own life, if you would.
Yeah, the book was really born of struggle and exhaustion in my life as a college minister is really where it all got its start. College ministry was perhaps the most extroverted context I had ever been in. And college students just have endless amounts of energy and seem like they never sleep, and there's just so many social demands that were placed on me while I was in the midst of that ministry. I've actually found things more like chaplaincy to actually be a much more natural fit because it involves more one-on-one interaction rather than big energetic groups. And so the book was born when I had done a couple weeks of conferences in a row at the end of the school year. And, you know, we're talking 18 hours worth of being with people, and not just people, but really energetic college students who had just finished their semester. So they were all excited. And we did 2 weeks in a row of different conferences with different groups. And I was at the end of my rope. It didn't just feel like being tired or exhausted.
Adam, I have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I think you're moving the phone or something, but we're losing it. It's getting really muffled, and I can't understand, and I want to make sure people hear what you have to say. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, that's my mistake. I was getting excited, probably. So at the end of these 2 weeks of conferences, it didn't just feel like exhaustion. It felt like resentment. It felt like depression. I honestly felt like I was depressed. I was starting to get sick. And I felt like I was not right for this ministry, that I should probably resign. Like it was that level of despair that I was experiencing. And, you know, fortunately I didn't resign. They probably wouldn't have let me anyway, but I, after a couple weeks where I could finally feel restored and where I could finally look back on that, I realized that there was something happening for me that was not happening for the other extroverted leaders in that ministry. And that was when it really hit home. I knew I was an introvert, but that was where that introversion really hit home and where self-care became so critical, but where I also realized that I needed to employ a lot of specific strategies for drawing boundaries, for scheduling solitude, and for saying no. And fortunately, I was a leader in that community. So the next year, we did not do two conferences back to back.
For example, that's great. What other things have you employed that have just worked well over the years?
You know, I found the 2 hour Sunday afternoon nap after preaching to be extremely helpful. And there's something about having something to look forward to as an introvert that really helps you persevere through the midst of a very socially demanding situation, like standing up and preaching and then having to interact with people afterwards. If you know that, you know, your afternoon involves going to the movies or reading a book or a nap, that somehow that helps you sort of get through, you know, those very socially energetic moments. So I think that's been really critical. When I was a hospice chaplain, I learned to schedule my appointments differently than some of the other chaplains and social workers did. I allowed more time in between so that I could just even just sit in my car and take a nap or just sit and listen to the radio. And, you know, a good 20 minutes, at least 20 minutes in between appointments so that I could get that time to feel recharged, you know, to reflect a little bit on what had come and to sort of prepare myself for what was next. I feel like scheduling has been absolutely critical for me as an introvert.
How about as a parent when you've got introverted, extroverted kids? Is your mindset or advice different for each of these kids, helping them understand how they're wired?
Yeah, and that's a big question that people have asked me a lot about, which is why I added some new resources on ministering to introverted youth and talking more and more about parenting. I've gotten more than one phone call from a introverted parent that was locked in the bathroom because that was the only place they felt like they could get any privacy. I know that's different from what you're asking, but I think about the introverted parents a lot, especially with mothers of young children who feel like they get absolutely no time to themselves and then it's just impossible for them to find solitude. And I empathize with that. But I do think that, you know, again, that we live in a culture, not only a church, but a broader societal situation where extroversion is heralded and prized and everyone feels like they need to be extroverts. And so that can sort of make its way into parenting. And I think it's absolutely vital for parents to observe if they have a child that's quieter and more introverted. The tendency is I want to push them, you know, I want them to make friends and I want them to be successful in life. And so I want to push them into new situations and situations with other kids. And I understand that. And some of that is necessary, but to also understand that my child is an introvert and that there are great gifts. There's imagination, there's creativity, there's different things that we can do, you know, with kids who are on the more introverted side. And some of the, you know, greatest leaders and greatest inventors in the history of the world have been very introverted people. And so there is a lot of magic in that quiet life that those kids are leading, and that we shouldn't push them prematurely into being more social.
I suppose you can identify just why what they gravitate to. I mean, my middle one was always so excited when people were coming over. The other two could have cared less. But when they did finally come over, he would go play in his room and shut the door. And the other two were fine to hang out. And he truly is an introvert. He just needs his solitude. So would you say that they could identify just by observing what gives their kids energy?
And it shows up really early. There's actually been a study. There's been a study on this that infants from the earliest age, the way that they react to stimuli, whether, you know, noises or other sorts of outward stimuli, that the children that are called high reactives, the ones that react more strongly to that stimuli, actually end up becoming introverts, testing as introverts later in life, whereas those who are not as reactive actually end up testing as extroverts later in life. And so it shows up from the earliest of ages, and if you know, kids seem to prefer a quieter environment or get overwhelmed a little bit faster, then odds are they're on the more introverted side of things.
Well, one last question before we wrap up and pray here, and I can pray if you're not comfortable praying on the air. I really do want to honor you on that if you just say the word, but you've got a chapter titled Finding Healing. Say a word if you would about that.
Yeah, it's important that I say that that chapter is not about finding healing from introversion. That was a misinterpretation that some people had from the first edition. And I'm not saying, because a lot of people think, oh, I need to be healed from being an introvert, or I need to stop being shy or aloof or whatever. And I was actually saying, no, actually, there's just a lot of wounds that have been inflicted on us from the earliest of ages, because we do live in a culture that so prizes extroversion. And so that's what that chapter is about. It looks at a few stories of some people I know that grew up in extremely extroverted families, but they were introverts, and how they were misinterpreted and even shamed, and how much of a struggle that's been for them to accept themselves as they are and to embrace the gifts that they actually have to give and that they are to other people. And so that's what that chapter is about.
Very good. Well, as we pause and pray, I'm going to pray for the introverts listening today, and just a reminder to talking to Adam McHugh today. The title of his book is Introverts in the Church, Finding Our Place in an Extroverted Culture. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address. And so, Lord, we just come before you. We thank you, God, that you were fearfully, wonderfully made. You made each of us just divinely and uniquely, and you love us completely. And I just pray, Lord, for every introvert listening today, that they would feel just your pleasure, that your delight, that you made no mistakes when you made them. Help them to find their place in the church. Help them to find their role. Help them to find their yes and their no, so that they can nurture their hearts and nourish their soul. And for the extroverts who love them, I just pray that there'd be a deeper unity and an understanding of how we're all made so uniquely. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you don't contradict yourself when you make us. You knew what you were doing. And we just submit ourselves to you now. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, a special thanks to Adam McHugh for joining us today to talk about his book, Introverts in the Church. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, God loves you so much just the way you are, and he's going to make you, turn you into his likeness. Remember this too, he wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.